Fantastic. It is really great to have you all here. If you're new here, I really want to add my welcome to the welcome that you've already received. My name is Mbonisi, and I'm part of the leadership team here at One Tribe. And there's so many great churches in this city that we're thrilled that you'd spend this Sunday morning with us. And I've had a great week. I really, really have. And we're in a series. We're in a 4-week series, which started last Sunday. And the name of the series is Just Walk Across the Room. And I don't know about you, but this last 7 days or so, I found myself with all this talk, you know, of getting out of our comfort zones and walking into the zone of the unknown. I found myself just this last week strangely preoccupied with people who I walk past, drive past every single day. And I found that even when I'm praying, I find myself now praying, God, bring people my way, or God, help me to find people who don't know you. And one of the exciting things about this is that I'm not just experiencing this alone, but this last Friday, we went into our Just Walk Across the Room group. I'll just walk across the room, small group. And it was great. I arrived a few minutes late, and we come into the room. And as we come into the room, we find 7 other people there waiting. And they're looking at me like, Pastor, you're slowing us down. Come on, we want to get on with this great, great material. And I'm hearing just amazing stories as well. One story is of someone who met an individual last weekend, so about a week ago. And today they said, you know what, we want to try and set things up so that we meet them again. They said they're at this place regularly. And who knows, maybe the Holy Spirit is calling us to connect with this individual. Another story, someone's had a friend for a long, long time, and they were just sharing with us that, you know, this friend and I, we've had a friendship for some time, but we've never actually really talked deeply about spiritual matters. And this one tribe has said, please pray for me because my friend and I, we've agreed that this week we're going to get together and we're just going to share our different faith journeys and learn from one another. And as I hear that, I think, wow, do you know what's happening amongst us? Do you know what God is doing with this group of people? It's kind of like what happened in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah says that he, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw God, and he was high and lifted up on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And there were these flying creatures circling around the throne, covering their eyes and their bodies and saying, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And then Isaiah says, do you know what happened? Standing there in the presence of God, I heard the voice of God. And as I was standing in the presence of God, and as I heard the voice of God, you know what I heard God saying? God said, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And Isaiah, he kind of looks around and there's no one else in heaven. And he says, God, here am I. Send me. And that's our prayer as a church, really, is that over these weeks, we would catch God's heartbeat for people who don't know him. And that every single one of us would say, God, with all my failings, here am I. Would you send me? God, we pray that this morning we would continue to experience more of your presence. And God, we pray that you would help us to catch what's on your heart. And God, our prayer is that what's on your heart would become what is on our hearts. And God, it's my prayer that you'd help me to say and to keep on saying. You'd help us to say and to keep on saying, Lord, here we are. Would you send us to speak your good news into our worlds that many would come to know you? And everyone present said, amen. So if you weren't here last week, most of the messages, in fact, all the One Tribe messages, Sunday messages, are on the website and you can catch them there. But last week, the big idea was that we said that the single greatest gift that any one of us who follows Jesus can give away is a relationship an introduction for the people in our world to the person who made them and who loves them and who has a plan for their lives. And that as we do that, we become walk across the room kinds of people. And we say that a just walk across the room kind of person is someone who is willing to enter the zone of the unknown. And you can get more of that if you listen to the message. We said that once you enter the zone of the unknown, we can learn to listen to and obey the Spirit's promptings. But man, there comes a point where we just have to walk across the room. This week, what we're going to talk about is, okay, I've left my circle of comfort, and I have walked into the zone of the unknown in response to the Spirit's promptings. I have just walked. If I get to the other side of the room, what do I do? What do I say? What's the next step? And if you've got questions like that, you're in exactly the right place. Because just walk across the room, people. We want to become people who live in 3D. That's the title of this morning's message, Living in 3D. And it's based, as you might imagine, on 3Ds to help us remember and to help us live this message out. The first D is this. Walk across the room, people, are people who live life in 3D. We constantly look for ways to develop friendships. That means if we are followers of Christ, our hearts and minds should always be in search mode. That means we get to a party, we get to the Nyamachoma, we get to the restaurant, and we get to our school, our kids' school drop-off, and all the while we're thinking, hey, I wonder if there's anyone here who I can become friends with. And you might think that, you know what, that's not really my personality, that's not the kind of person that I am, and I understand that, and in fact, you and I may actually have more similar personalities than you realize, but here's one thing that trumps our personalities, that trumps our past hurts, and that's this, in the book of Luke, Jesus says, the Son of Man, that's code name for Jesus, he says, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came and he was in search mode, looking for you and looking for me. And that's how the lost became found. He's done that for you and I. And now you and I have the privilege to go through our lives in that same search and rescue mode, looking for friends. That's the natural response to the gospel. But it doesn't always work that way, does it? If we're honest, that's not necessarily how our lives look 24/7. Why is that? There are two dynamics at work that I want to explain to us this morning. And you may find one or both of them applicable to you. For our first one, we are going to go back to the days of our high school maths. Hold your applause. How many of you from maths remember the concept? Just stay with me for a moment. I can see some of you zoning out already. Stay with me. How many of you remember the concept of direct and indirect variation? This is a problem. It looks something like this. If there's a guy, let's call him John, okay? And John, maybe he's a teenager, maybe he went through puberty last year, and as he went through puberty, maybe in a 12-month calendar period, his height increased, maybe by 10%. Maybe in that same 12-month calendar period, as his height increased, maybe his weight also increased. If his height increased and his weight went in the same direction, it increased, then that is an example of direct variation.
One goes up, the other goes up.
If, on the other hand, John's weight or John's height went up, but somehow, for some reason, his weight went down, that would be an example of indirect variation. Are you with me? Those of you who break out in rashes at high school maths, you can come back. That's all the maths we're going to cover today. All right? Now we're going to apply this concept in the life of a Christ follower. Let's not call them John. Let's call them Jane. What happens in Jane's life? Jane becomes a follower of Jesus. She hears the good news of what Jesus has done for her, how he was bruised and broken on a cross. He poured out his blood so that she could be forgiven, she could be rescued forever, and she comes to a point where she understands that and believes that and says, yes, Jesus, I want you to be the forgiver of my sins and the leader of my life. And now, after that moment, she has been rescued and redeemed by the King of the universe. She's just entered a walk of getting closer and closer to Christ. So we're going to call this her walk with Christ. As that happens in her life, her heart is so full of this good news that she wants to tell everyone about it. She wants to tell her brother, she wants to tell her sister, she wants to tell her mum and dad, she wants to tell her best friend, she wants to tell her pet cat about what Jesus has done for her. And that makes sense. And so, as she continues in her walk with Christ, she also finds that her desire to be with other people and to share the good news with other people is going up. So her love for people increases as she gets closer and closer to Christ. In other words, it is all good. Things are pumping. But then after following Jesus for a while, things turn not so good. You see, what happens is after maybe 2, 3, 4 years, what happens is Jane is still walking with Christ. But what happens is she finds that her and her friends and family who've come to know and love Jesus, they spend a lot of their time with each other talking about their new lives in Christ. And after a while, Jane's life and her time and her energy become consumed with her relationships with other people who know Jesus. That's a good thing. But the flip side of this is this. She finds that she has less enthusiasm for reaching out to people who don't know Jesus. She's no longer welcoming and embracing people into a relationship with Jesus. She's no longer talking to her unconvinced friends because she actually doesn't have any unconvinced friends anymore. And so strangely, whilst her walk with Christ is still good, her love for and engagement with people who don't know Jesus is going down and not up. Isn't that weird that proximity to the greatest people person there ever was, namely Jesus, in her life somehow has been turned into something upside down, and that's decreased engagement with the people who Jesus came to die for. This is the worst kind of indirect variation on planet Earth. That's one dynamic that's at work as we talk about living in 3D and developing friendships. But there is another dynamic at work, and that dynamic is this. All of us have people that we like. Yes? Anyone not have anyone that you like? Okay. There are certain people who, when you think about spending time with them, you think, cool. There are certain people who you actually crave time with them and you enjoy their company and the conversations. Everyone of us has a group of people like that, our family, our friends, some of the people at work. Every human heart has a list of people that we just naturally love. But by the same token, a lot of us have a secret list of people who we don't love. There's a list of people, maybe it is someone who stabbed you in the back at work, or someone who cheated you out of money. Maybe it's a spouse who walked out on you and left you holding the baby. Maybe it's someone who wounded you with words. You may have very good reasons for having a list of people who you actually just don't like. But it gets even more complex than that. Did you know that a lot of us have lists of whole groups of people who we don't like? We have whole groups of people who it's just difficult to connect. We start to feel a little bit uncomfortable if we're in the same room as people who maybe vote differently to us, or people of a different socioeconomic grouping to us, or people who were brought up differently. And actually, there's a whole group of people who we wished, you know what, I wish I could get all of these people together and put them on the train to Mombasa. And once they get to Mombasa, I wish we could put them on a boat out to sea permanently. And then we hear the good news of how Jesus came to rescue us while we were still sinners. And none of you would probably do this, but what happens is some of us, when we hear that good news, and God tells us to go and love people in this group, all of a sudden, a list of conditions and qualifiers pops out of nowhere. It's like, God, okay, if you want me to love these people, they'd better be nice. And they'd better be safe. And they'd better not hurt me. Do you have any conditions and qualifiers on who you'll reach out and talk to? Please, please tell me someone else has conditions and qualifiers. I don't want to stand here in my sinfulness all alone. We end up with a list of what you can call, if you like, the better bees. If you want me to reach out to this person, they'd better be Kikuyu. Or they'd better not be Kikuyu. If you want me to reach out to this person, then they'd better be Kenyan. Or they'd better be expatriate. Or they'd better be white. Or they'd better be black, or they'd better vote this way, or they'd better think this way. We have this long list of qualifiers and conditions. And if any of that is true for you, Luke 15 is just such a powerful story. You see, what happened in Luke chapter 15 is Jesus, he's just standing and he's hanging out. And the Bible says the Pharisees and the and the teachers of the law, they are very unhappy. So Jesus, he's minding his own business. He's just hanging out and talking with people. But that's not the problem. The problem is who Jesus is hanging out with and talking with. The Bible says that he's hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. These were the people who had cheated other people out of money. These were the people driving the corruption in the economy. These were the people who'd made bad life decisions, and these were the people who had slept in the wrong bed, done all sorts of things. And the Pharisees are looking there at this group of people, and what is freaking them out is these are the people exactly on the Pharisees' list. And the Pharisees, what was going on in their hearts was this. They were thinking, hey, you know what? I think God's heart is a lot like our hearts. You see, we have lists of people who actually disgust us. And God has lists of people. He's got one list of people. This is a list of people who God loves to bless, and he loves to answer their prayers and do them good. And God, and by the way, those people on that list, I surprise, surprise, they're a lot like me. They're a lot like us. But then God has another list, and on this list is just bad, disgusting people, and he basically just can't wait to send them to hell. And Jesus, he sees what the Pharisees are thinking. And then he launches off into not one, not two, but three stories. It's the story of the lost sheep, the story of the lost coin, and the story of the lost son. And as he starts off with a big scale. He starts off with 100 sheep, and then it comes down to 10 coins, and then it comes down to 2 sons. The sheep, on the one hand, goes off and gets itself lost, as sheep are prone to do. The coin goes missing. 1/10 of the coins goes missing. And the son, he says to his father, "Father, give me my share of my inheritance now." And that, in that culture, was basically the same as saying, "Listen, old man, you're as good as dead, so just give me my inheritance now." And I can imagine one of the Pharisees listening to this story. And as he goes away, he can't just stop thinking about it. Lost coin, lost sheep, lost son. And I can imagine him sitting down by the fireside and just thinking to himself, what was that all about? And as this Pharisee ponders the story, he thinks, you know what? In all three of these stories, something goes missing. The sheep went missing when it wandered away. The coin went missing when it was lost in the house. And the son went missing when he took the father's inheritance and he went to a foreign country and squandered it away. And as this Pharisee carries on thinking, he thinks to himself, but you know what? In each of these stories, it's not just that something goes missing. But what went missing mattered. This lost sheep, it mattered to the shepherd. This lost coin, it mattered to the woman. And this lost son, he mattered to the father. This Pharisee, as he carries on stoking the fire late into the night, he thinks to himself, what was all that about? And then all of a sudden, it goes off in his heart like a hand grenade. Kaboom! Oh no. What if Jesus was teaching that God's heart is nothing like our hearts? What if God was saying, what if Jesus was saying that those tax collectors and sinners who disgust me, they are missing and they matter to the Father? What if Jesus was showing us that his heart is totally different to our hearts? That God doesn't even have a list of people that he hates, but that he doesn't want anyone to perish, but all of us to come to a knowledge of our Heavenly Father's love. And as you and I realize that, as we let the gospel, the good news of what Jesus did by coming to rescue sinners like you and me, it helps us to open our hearts. You see, 3D people, we are people who, as we go around in search mode, our heart posture is, man, my heart is open to you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what you've done. My heart is open to you. So that's the first D. Let's move on to the second and third Ds as quickly as we can. So the first D is that we go and we are in continual search mode so that we can develop friendships. The second D is that while we're constantly looking for ways to develop friendships, we're developing friendships in order to discover stories. As we become just walk across the room kinds of people, we become experts at developing friendships and at discovering stories. The author of the book that we're working through, Just Walk Across the Room, you can buy it at the table outside if you haven't got it yet, giveaway price. But the author of the book, he shares two great stories. In the first one, he tells how he's part of a squash club. Now, as I researched this message, I was made aware that some of you do not know what squash is. How many of you have heard of squash? How many of you have never heard of squash? A couple. Squash is, I'm told, similar to racquetball. And he's joined the sporting club, and he meets someone at the sporting club that he's never met before. And after a while, they kind of click, and they start talking and getting to know each other. And over a period of 6 months, Bill, who wrote the book, and this new friend, they get to know each other. And after 6 months, this new friend feels comfortable enough to divulge, to share, that he's actually going through a very difficult situation with his son. He and his son had reached they had a conflict about something, and this father had made the decision to cut off communication, to have nothing more to do with his son, with his own child. And for various reasons, this father, after making that decision, had decided that actually he wanted reconciliation with his son. And Bill, he listened to his story. And over the coming weeks, as they met for their weekly squash appointment, Bill and this guy, they would talk about, Bill would ask good questions. Ask questions about the deeper family dynamics and about this individual's spiritual journey. And after a while, Bill says, you know what, it was a risk, but after a while, I felt the Spirit's prompting to say, hey, to this friend, hey, why don't you go and just have one appointment with a Christian counselor friend of mine? And Bill says that from his own life, he'd known that time with a counselor can be so helpful. And so this friend, he agreed, and he went to see the counselor. And after a few sessions, it turns out that this father and his son were wonderfully reconciled. Now, we don't know whether they ever came on to cross the line of faith and become Christ followers. But man, the power of the transformation in their interpersonal relationships would have had ripple effects through all of their lives. Second story Bill tells is he says that he had a friend who they would go on motorbikes together. And they'd go biking together and having a great time. But this friend was a little bit rough around the edges. But Bill was so careful. He didn't judge this guy for the decisions that he was making or the kind of lifestyle he was living. And after a while, after just being friends, this guy shared his story and he said, you know what, I actually have an alcohol problem. I have a drinking problem. And he said, I think it's in danger of wrecking my whole life. And again, Bill, he didn't judge. He asked the questions and he found out more. And after a while, Bill encouraged this friend to join a kind of rehab program. And in this rehab program, this guy got free not only from the chains of alcohol that were holding him, but he also found Christ. And after one of the meetings, he prayed to make Jesus his personal Lord and Savior. But here's the deal. These two stories only worked because Bill was willing to listen to the stories of people that he'd come into contact with. He was willing to discover their stories. And it was only as he had done that and won their trust week by week and month by month. It was only as they understood that he actually cared about them. They weren't just some evangelistic project. It was only in that context that they felt safe to open up and he could discover their amazing stories. And it's as we do that, that God enables us to do the third D, which is to discern next steps. First D is develop friendships. The second D is discover stories. The third D is discern next steps. Now, in your Just Walk Across the Room groups, your J-Walk groups this week, you're gonna hear about a concept known as forks in the road. All of us find ourselves in situations relationally with people where we reach a fork in the road. And at this fork in the road, we can either disengage and decide not to have more to do with this person and not to serve them in the needs that they have in their lives. Or we can make the Christ-like decision and choose to listen and to love them and to serve. And as we do that, as we discover people's stories, as Christ followers, we've got our spiritual antenna up. And as Simba shares his story with me, I'm not just thinking, that's nice. I'm not just doing the act of listening. Have you been taught to do active listening? It's like, oh, that must have been so hard for you. And you repeat things that people say to you. So Simba says, man, it was bad. And you say, it was so bad, wasn't it? Now, as followers of Christ, we've got something available to us. We've got the leading and direction of the Holy Spirit. And so as Simba's sharing his heart story, as he's unpacking his story for you, because now he knows you and he trusts you, what you and I are doing is we are praying like crazy, Holy Spirit, help me discern some next steps that will serve Simba well in his faith journey. And man, there's power in that. What we're going to do now is we've got a video clip for you to watch. And it's the story of, again, the author of the series, Bill, and a friend of his called Dave. And you get to hear from Dave firsthand about some next steps that someone discerned that helped him in his spiritual journey. Let's get the video up and check it out.
I saw something so valuable inside Dave. And I remember just saying to myself, this is going to be a long, slow walk. He's got to see a Christian kind of walk the walk. I never put a time span on it. I just said, this is a guy I'd like to be friends with and let God do whatever God's going to do. I really wanted to make sure that it was God doing the work and me riding in the second position.
Before Regatta, I was preparing my little area on the sailboat, and Bill would come up and just ask me how my week had gone, how Beth was, maybe what had gone on at work. I mean, the conversations never really moved towards faith or Christianity. And it, again, it was just so refreshing to me that he was concerned about me as an individual and what was going on in my life.
I think really trying to point someone in the direction of faith is usually the summation of a lot of little inputs along the way. I don't think it's the big 3-hour talk where you start with creation and end at the end of the Bible. I don't think it's a great big theological brain dump all at once.
I remember Bill giving me a copy of Case for Christ before it was ever even in print. And so in my travels around the country, on airplanes, I would pull that out and read a few pages. And I really needed that because I was so inquisitive about the science part of it.
Fantastic. By the way, if you want to hear how that story ends, you need to get into your Just Walk Across the Room group this week. It's a fantastic story. But listen, we're going to pull out some lessons that we can learn as we develop this kind of final D of our three Ds. Now, there are a couple of things. There are a couple of next steps that we can see that Bill took to help his friend Dave in a Christward direction. And I'd love some of you to shout these out in just a moment. But before we do that, I want to highlight two great attitudes that Bill had. The first one was this. He really valued Dave. Did you catch that? He said, I just saw something really valuable in this guy. Isn't that a great attitude to have? The second thing is he put God in the driving seat. I don't know if it came out clearly there, but he said, you know what? I wanted to make sure that God was driving this thing, not me. And as Christ followers, we can do that. We can say, hey, do you know what? God, I want to put you in the driving seat of this. I don't want to manipulate, control things. I just want to see what you're doing in Dave's life, and I want to obey your promptings as I hear them. But God, we need you all over this. That is a great attitude. But then there are these incremental next steps that Bill took with Dave that helped Dave along. Did any of you pick them up? Just shout them out from where you are. Gave him a book, absolutely. He said, I had questions about the science part, and Bill gave me a book that he spoke about the Case for Christ, which helps people who have these kind of intellectual objections to the story of Jesus. Now, people in your life may be helped by a book like that. They might not be helped by a book like that, but they might be helped by a different kind of book. Does that make sense? What other steps did you see Bill taking with Dave? He was hanging out with him. That is a good next step. As Christ followers, because God took a great initiative with us while we were still sinners, man, we should be so willing to take the next step, to take the initiative in the lives of people around us. Hey, this was, I just so enjoyed this coffee with you. We must do it again sometime. I'll give you a call. One or two other next steps? How about this? How about Bill would ask him how his work was? How his wife was, how his week was. Those are great, 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 great pointers to the next step. And I don't know if it came through clearly in the video or not, but one great next step he took was to say to his friend Dave, hey, listen, I'm going to pray for you every single day this week. That is a great next step. Now, what we're going to do now is we want to engage you in this whole idea of next steps. And last week, we gave you an opportunity to write a card or to send a message to someone who helped point you towards Christ. Well, for this week's activity, every one of you should have gotten at the door a card that looks a little something like, somebody help me. Not like that. That is the exact opposite of what I need. There we go. Thanks, Sean. You should have a card like this. Can you wave this if you don't have it? No, wave it if you do have it. That's a good next step. If you don't have it, put up an empty hand so we can get one to you super quick. They have run out. Ah, okay. No problem. If that's you and yours has run out, instead of writing on this, you can write on the back of this piece of paper. What's special? No, it's not. It's one that looks like this, slightly different to the one that you have. It looks more like this. Fantastic. Okay. Now, what you're going to do is there are... The card everyone is holding or should be holding looks like this. And there are two sections. Section one at the top says, what steps did others take to lead me towards Christ? And it might be, she gave me a book, or he offered to pray for me. Just think about a couple of steps that someone took that helped to lead you to Christ. And then the second half asks a different question. It says, what steps can I take to lead someone else in my world in a Christward direction? So what we're going to do is in just a moment, we're going to start some music playing. And as the music is playing, I'm going to give you 90 seconds to answer just this first question, what steps did others take to lead me to God? Don't rush on it, but I'm just going to give you 90 seconds to do that. Then after 90 seconds, I'm going to say, time up for the first question. Now move on to the second question, what steps can I take to lead others to God? And then after 90 seconds, I'm going to say, time up for both questions. And then I'm going to say, hey, listen, I want you to take your next steps card and I want you to get out of your seat and walk to the closer of the two baskets to you. And as you're walking, I want you to pray every step of the way to the basket and from the basket, be praying this prayer, God, these next steps that I could take with someone else this next week, give me the opportunity and give me the courage to take these steps. Does that make sense? Okay. And at the same time, we are taking up the offering. And so if you come to the front, you can drop your card in, be praying on the way there and on the way back. And with your offering, what should they do with the offering, Sherilyn? Put it in the same, just put it in the same basket. It'll be absolutely safe. Is that crystal clear? It couldn't be any clearer, could it? Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take about 90 seconds to answer the first question. What steps did others take to lead me to God? Just answer that question in the next 90.
My TV screen, another broken heart comes into view. I saw the pain and I turned my back. Why can I do the things I want to? I'm willing yet I'm so afraid. You give me strength when I say I wanna be your head.
Is everyone still tracking with me? So now you've written what steps other people took to lead you to Christ. Now, we're going to give you the same amount of time to answer the next question. And the next question is, what steps can I take to help lead others to Christ? And then at the end of that time, we're going to call you up and invite you up, and you can come on up. And as you put this in the basket, you can think of it as your offering to God, saying, God, hey, I don't have much money, or I have lots of money, and you can have that. But God, this is a different kind of offering that I want to bring to you this week as well. Does that make sense? And as we pray into it as a body, it's going to be powerful. Okay, so just 90 seconds to answer the second question. What steps can I take to lead others to God? Let's go. Everyone still tracking? Fantastic. Now we're going to do the final step in this exercise, and that's invite you up now, just as the music is playing, come on up, do your personal prayer walk up to the basket, put your card in as an offering to God and say, God, first of all, thank you for what others did to lead me to you. Now, God, give me the courage and power and opportunity to take these next steps that you're laying on my heart. And we're doing the offering at the same time because we're efficient. And then you can take your seats, and then I'm just going to share one more verse and a couple more thoughts, and then we're going to close the meeting. Does that make sense? Great. Let's bring our offerings in terms of our obedience to his promptings and in terms of the finances he's blessed us with. Let's do that now. God, we want to thank you that you speak to your people. And God, we want to thank you that we have access to your wisdom, your direction. Thank you, God, that when we move in this walk across the room direction, when we move to develop friends or discern next steps or to hear your voice, to discover other people's stories, God, thank you that we're moving in a direction that you're already moving in. And God, I want to thank you for just the people here willing to respond, to say, here am I, send me. And God, it's my prayer that you would energize every commitment, every prompting that's come in the last few minutes. And God, that you just infuse it with Holy Spirit power. And God, that the fruit of that would be significant steps taken to help other people in a Christward journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Hey, listen, team. There's a fantastic story that I want to kind of wrap this morning up with. And it's a story found in Mark chapter 3. And what's happening is Jesus, he's standing in the synagogue. And as he's standing there, the bad guys, the Pharisees and the scribes, they come along. And they're not happy with Jesus. And so they want to catch him out on a Sabbath technicality. Back then, you weren't allowed to do any work on the Sabbath. And apparently that included healing people. And there was a guy in the synagogue, and he had this withered hand. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they were watching Jesus, and they were watching this guy with the withered hand to see what Jesus would do and if they could nab him on this technicality. And the Bible says that Jesus, you can see the Message translation over here, it says, he looked around at them in anger, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Jesus looked at the Pharisees and he thought, I don't get you. You're more consumed with vendettas and regulations than you are about transforming a life that is so badly in need of healing. So do you know what Jesus did? He healed him. Jesus couldn't not heal him because Jesus' whole ministry and purpose is to bring healing to every area of our lives. Here's the deal, team. You were withered, and I was withered in so many ways, in different ways. But other people decided to be Jesus' hands and feet to help us in terms of next steps that would lead us closer to Christ. We've all received this mercy. Right now, I'm looking eye to eye at dozens of evidences of the mercy and grace of a God who touches and transforms withered lives. Here's some next steps that others took to lead us to God. Made time for me. Gave me some good music. They invited me into their world. They read relatable scriptures to be answers to my questions. Someone said, one step that I can take to lead others to God. Sincerely care for others, certain acquaintances and friends, and follow up and talk to them about God. Friends, there are withered people all around us. People with withered souls, withered dreams, withered hope, some with withered bodies. And by God's power and God's grace, you and I can be Jesus' healing hands and feet through the words that we say, through hearts that are open to him. We're on the threshold of another week, another 7 days. As this week unfolds, team, let's commit to living in 3D, to developing friendships, having hearts that are open to the people we come into contact with every day. Let's commit to discovering stories, to putting the spotlight on the other person, not on us, to taking a genuine interest in the people around us. And every moment that we're doing that, let's be begging the Holy Spirit for his direction as we discern next steps. Shall we stand together? We're going to close in prayer now. I wonder, Sean, whether you could close for us in prayer. Is that okay?
Let's pray. God, thank you that you are the ultimate example. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to seek the lost. You came to seek us, God. Thank you that you wanted to develop a relationship with us. God, thank you that you knew our stories, Lord. Thank you that every part of our lives matters to you, God. And Lord, thank you that you're the one who has led us in next steps of coming to know you and understand who you are. Lord, thank you that you're still doing that today, all over the world, all around us, in our communities, our relationships. We want to ask, God, that by your grace and by your Spirit, you would just get us all involved in this, Lord. Won't you just catch us up in what you're doing around us? Won't you give us your eyes to see just the potential, the value, the love that you have for the people around us, God? And won't you make us available and obedient? And God, I just pray that you would use us in more ways than we could ask or imagine for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for coming today. Please join us for Tia Mandazi. If you're not in a Just Walk Across the Room group, please try getting into one this week. It's so